Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we commit this moment to you this morning. We thank you for your word that our brother John is going to bring to us. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to sit underneath the preaching of your word. Thank you for that. I just do pray now that you would give John your grace and your spirit to share the things that you've laid on his heart. Bless him, Lord, as he shares. Give him courage. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity again that we have to gather in this way and to be encouraged. So, Father, just meet with us. Bless John as he shares. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's a joy to be gathered with you in this way this morning. It's a blessing to be together, worship the Lord together. My dear wife, she knows me pretty well after 25 years, and she leaned over and she said, "Are you nervous?" She said, "Why is that?" She's so practical. I don't know. New experiences always make me nervous, I guess. But it's a joy to be here this morning with you all. Just for an opening, just a devotional here this morning, we have a passage we'd like to read in 2 Peter chapter 1 for a verse, and then we will be turning to Jeremiah chapter 9. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 3. We'll just read this verse and then we'll turn to Jeremiah chapter 9. Second Peter 1, verse 3. I'm not sure if I gave that right. Second Peter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. All things that pertain unto life and godliness are given to us through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. We'll bear that verse in, we'll keep that verse in mind, and we're going to read Jeremiah chapter 9. And then we'll have just a few thoughts here. We just have perhaps just a simple thought here this morning, just in opening, turning our hearts to the Lord. And I don't want to take a lot of time here. If you find reading through the prophets laborious and somewhat can be intense and difficult at times to understand. You're not alone in that. It's not necessarily easy to really discern what all is going on in the context, and we certainly am not going to get into all those things this morning. We're just looking for just a very simple thought here from the 9th chapter of Jeremiah. And we'll be reading it here. I think we'll take time to read it. Jeremiah speaking here, "Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. And they bend their tongues like a bow for lies, but they are not valiant for truth upon the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Take ye heed, every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. And they will deceive every one his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies, and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit, and through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them and try them, for how shall I do for the daughter of my people? Their tongue is as an arrow shot out, it speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in heart he layeth his weight. Shall I not visit them for these things, saith the Lord? Though my soul be avenged, shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? For the mountains will I take up weeping and wailing, and for the habitations of the wilderness a lamentation, because they are burned up, so that none can pass through them. Neither can man hear the voice of the cattle. Both the fowl of heaven and the beast are fled, they are gone. And I will make Jerusalem heaps and a den of dragons, and I will make the cities of Judah desolate without an inhabitant. Who is the wise man that may understand this? And who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord has spoken that he may declare it? For what the land perisheth and is burned up like a wilderness that none passeth through. And the Lord saith, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even as people with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink, and I will scatter them also among the heathen, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, and I will send a sword after them till I have consumed them. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider ye, and call for the mourning women that they may come, and send for cunning women that they may come. Let them make haste and take up wailing for us, that our eyes may run down with tears and our eyelids gush out with waters. For a voice of wailing is heard out of Zion. How are we spoiled? We are greatly confounded, because we have forgotten the land, because our dwellings have cast us out. Yet hear the word of the Lord, O you women, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth, and teach your daughters wailing, and every one her neighbor lamentation. For death has come up into our windows and has entered into our palaces to cut off the children from without and the young men from the streets. Speak, thus saith the Lord, even the carcasses of men shall fall as dung upon the open field, and as the handful after the harvestmen, and none shall gather them. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, neither let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them that are circumcised with the uncircumcised, Egypt and Judah and Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab, and all that are in the utmost corners that dwell in the wilderness. For all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. We'll stop reading there. We read a passage that's not so encouraging, perhaps, this morning in some ways, and we don't want to leave us with a discouraged feeling here this morning. But I have just a few thoughts from this passage. There's different things that we could pull out of this passage this morning. We could speak about Jerusalem. We could speak about Zion and Judah, and we could speak about the people that are referred to in this passage, and the fallen condition that they're experiencing. And the fallenness and the brokenness and the hurt and the pain and the lostness and in a lot of ways, if we look at the broad picture of those that bear the name of Christ, maybe in some ways we could relate to those things, and we could talk about that to great length this morning, but we won't do that. We could talk about Jeremiah here, the faithful prophet, the one who is in the middle of this thing, the one who is caught between God and the people, the one who is called here, and And there's a lot we could learn from him. I think of in verse 1 here, my heart, my mind was arrested. I was reading this a few weeks ago, and it arrested my attention. The passion, the heart of this man who said that, "Oh, is that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." And, you know, there's different responses as we look at where a lot of brokenness in the world, there's a possibility of having a kind of an indifferent response. You know, that's just how it is. You know, it's that way, and we know it's that way, and we will just go on our way and rejoice in the fact that we know God. And you know, there's the critical response, you know, that we can see all those things and we can talk about them and criticize them, and we can point all those things out and point our finger at them and shoot out the lip, as it says there in the Word. But then there's another response, and this prophet was bearing the heart of God for the matter, and he was weeping. He's known as the weeping prophet, and someone who cared about the situation. And so there's a lot we could learn from this prophet, this man of God. There's a third party in this passage, and we'd like to spend more of our time just meditating on that a little bit this morning, and that's God. So we'd just like to talk a little bit about the heart of God here. In two particular verses, we'll read these in the Amplified. I'm going to read these a couple of verses here in the Amplified, and one of those would be verse 3. I'm going to pull out just a couple of phrases just for our meditation this morning. In verse 3, he says, this is, "Thus saith the Lord." They bend their tongue like a bow. Their lies and not truth prevail and grow strong in the land, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know and understand and acknowledge me, says the Lord. They do not know and understand and acknowledge me. In the King James, it says, they don't know me. They know not me, saith the Lord. The root of the problem here is they know not me, saith the Lord. And then also in verse 6, we have a similar thought. In verse 6, "Your dwelling is in the midst of deceit, oppression upon oppression, and deceit upon deceit. Through deceit, they refuse to know, to understand me, says the Lord." And so those thoughts arrested my attention as I was reading this passage, and just like to share it with you this morning. The thought that got my attention was just this phrase of the Creator, the God of heaven, the Eternal One, who said they refuse to know me. They refuse. It's not that I wouldn't want them to, and it's not that I wouldn't communicate with them. It's not that I wouldn't love to have them be my people, but they refuse. They refuse to know me. And so, was thinking, you know, the root of their problems, the evil that they were bound up in, their relationship difficulties, the difficulties that they were having in their relationship, came from this root. He said that, and it's a broken situation when men are admonished not to trust each other because it won't work. Trust not every man his neighbor, because they're deceitful. Yeah, we have that in verse 4. Every neighbor will walk with slanders, we have, you know, it doesn't mean that they had stopped all the activities. I believe the activities were still going on. The machinery was still running, I believe. The sacrifices were still happening, and things were still proceeding. I don't think those things had necessarily all stopped. But God was outside, and he said, they don't know me. They refuse to know me. God's heart. So my thought here this morning, I was thinking, you know, we see that. Brother Melvin referred to it this morning, the joy that we should have in what God has done for us and is to us, and the joy that we, the fulfillment that we find in Him. They were not experiencing those things. They were not finding that. We see this, if we could fast forward, some, I'm not sure exactly the amount of time, but we see that when God came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, and he came and physically visited these people, we see him weeping over these people and weeping over them, and we see him saying, how often have I desired, as a hen would gather her chicks under her, how often have I desired to do that, and you would not. And you would not. And it speaks to me this morning. Maybe just the question, is my heart open to God? Just open to know and understand, to hear from Him, to learn of Him. The point that I'd like to make here this morning is that He desires that more than we do many times. He desires that more than we do many times. And the breakdown in those things is not God's fault. And we see that very clearly here. I'd like to encourage us this morning. I'd like to encourage us with a thought this morning that He desires that. He really desires that. You know, I think back over 25 years ago, when I realized that the young lady that I was desiring to relate to closely and to have and to learn to know her better, when I realized that she wanted that too. And to my shock and to my surprise, I realized that she was desiring the same thing. That was tremendous joy to my heart. And it was some years later when I realized that the God that I needed, the God that I longed for, and the emptiness, the answer to the emptiness that I felt, that I realized that He desired to be that for me. That brought a tremendous joy to my heart. And I realized that He wanted that too. He knew that I needed that. He didn't need that, but He longed to give me what I needed. He didn't necessarily need that the way I did. This book is a record. This book is a record of God's pursuit of man, of God's ongoing and heart and pursuit after His creation, that they would know Him. But they refused to know me. They refused to know me. He done marvelous things in their lives. He had worked marvelously. He had done many things for them. He had revealed Himself to them many times, in many ways, in diverse ways, and through His Word and through the law, and yet their heart, as it says in one scripture, was as an adamant stone. They didn't desire that. So this morning, I I know that most of us in here perhaps have surrendered to the Lord and have opened their lives to God. And yet this morning I find in life that through the ongoing experiences of life and the ongoing working of God and the ongoing calling of God in our lives, that calling to know God continues to come to us. And is my heart open to that? Do I continue to want to know Him? He sovereignly directs and orders our lives in order that He can continue to reveal Himself to us. And how many times does He look at my life and say, He just don't want to go further? So I don't want to take a lot of time this morning. I just maybe a few more thoughts on the end of this passage. In verse 23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, but let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. And just the question here, what do I glory in? Accomplishments and maybe future dreams and there's just a lot of things we could put in there. And God, His view of this relationship, His view of this interaction that He wants to have with us, is that it ought to be supreme in our lives. And I think back to the illustration that I used, you know, that relationship that I had with that young lady, it was quite consuming to me. It occupied my thoughts, my just about everything about me. And you know, we read in 2 Peter chapter 1 that all things that pertain to life and godliness are given to us through that knowledge, through the knowledge of Him that has called us. Learning to know Him, learning to walk with Him, opens all the doors to life and godliness. And it is us that many times hinder that. Knowing Him in this verse here, as He wants to be known. Now, there's a profession of knowledge of God, but knowing Him as He wants to be known, said that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Knowing Him as He wants to be known, God is many times misunderstood. Would that be accurate to say that? God is many times misunderstood. Not understood as He, not known as He wants to be known. And I was thinking of this. You know, wrong views of God are the root of distorted worship. Distortions in worship. And, you know, I was thinking this story, in some ways perhaps a little humorous, but all of us have had experiences, I'm sure, in being misunderstood, and it doesn't feel good. We don't appreciate that. It's not pleasing and that it can bring. But some years ago, after when we had first got our sheep, we had gotten a few sheep, kind of as just we thought we'd try to raise some sheep. And, well, I didn't know how to shear sheep, and so the first few years I hired someone to shear sheep, and it was difficult because there's not that many sheep in the area, and to find someone to shear sheep was not necessarily easy. So, but I did locate someone to shear my sheep the first year, and then, because he was so busy, I thought I would try someone else. I don't know if it's the second or third year, and so I tried another gentleman, and we scheduled this thing that he's going to come and shear my sheep, and so. I think it was the night before, he called me and left a message instructing me to keep the sheep in so they're not wet in the morning when he gets there. And then I had a question or two, and so maybe an hour or two later, I called him. And I called him back to ask him a question. And he was completely wroth. He was angry with me, and he proceeded to tell me that in no uncertain terms that he would not come shear my sheep. And if I was that kind of person, and with the things I had said to him, he would not shear my sheep. And I was speechless, and I endeavored in some way to defend myself and say, I'm not sure what happened, but we haven't had any conversation. I don't know what's going on here. But he was adamant he wouldn't listen, and I, to this day, don't know what had happened. I didn't know where he lived, and I couldn't go to his house, and I just remember that feeling of just being completely misunderstood, completely wrongly blamed for something. I had no clue I still don't know what happened, other than he had had some other conversation that he was blaming on me, or that he thought was me. I don't know. And I just remember that feeling of being misunderstood, and that that's not who I am. I don't talk to people like that. I don't even know. And I think of knowing God and the things that God gets blamed for, and the things that, and a year later, I wanted someone to shear my sheep, and I thought, well, surely this thing's blown over by now. And I thought, well, we'll just act like nothing happened. I'll just call him, see if I can set him an appointment to shear my sheep. And when I called him, he was, oh, so how many do you have? And he's talking, and then he said, hey, he said, you're that guy that, and he went off on the same thing again, and. It wasn't me. I don't want to take away from our meditations here this morning with my story. But are we open to knowing God the way that He wants to be known? Are we open to, you know, what difference would it make in my marriage? What difference would it make in my heart for missions if I would come to know God? If I would let Him really reveal Himself to me? What difference would it make in my burden and passion for holiness and my desire after it if I would let God put His burden in my heart? What difference would it make in our homes, if we would let God impart to us His burden for our homes? What difference would it make in so many areas of my life? Or do I refuse to know Him? That's enough, God. I thank You for all You've done for me, but I think we'll stop here. that's really, or is my heart open? Yes, Lord, I want to know You. The Apostle Paul said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. I'd like to close with one more verse. Matthew 11, verse 28. This is a very familiar verse. But it is a verse that comes, it came through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I say only those things that I've heard from my Father. So we know it comes from the Father. It comes from God. It comes from the Father. And he says, come unto me. Come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn of me. Learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. Do I know him that way? And you shall find rest unto your souls. We learn of him when we get in the yoke with him. We don't learn of him. This is not an intellectual study to know God. This is not a... we learn of him when we get in the yoke with him. And then he can lead us and reveal himself to us. And, you know, there's a part of us that wants to get out of the yoke and wants to stop here. I encourage us not to do that. Learn of me. This is for my yoke is easy. My burden is light. It never gets heavy. Yeah, I'll just close with that. God bless you.